Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As I closed the program yesterday, I mentioned how that many people consider Gideon to be the greatest of all the judges. Of course, a lot of other people consider Samuel, no doubt, to be the greatest of all the judges. But Gideon was indeed a great individual. In the book of Judges, we read about 13 of the 15 judges. The last two, Eli and Samuel, they're mentioned as we study 1 Samuel. But Gideon is mentioned here. He is the fifth one of the judges that's mentioned. And we begin to read of him in the sixth chapter. Now, the sixth chapter opens as a verse that is so oft-repeated, as we have stated, in this book of Judges, a very turbulent, vacillating, back-and-forth, faithful, unfaithful period of the people of Israel. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Now, here we see this cycle going over and over again. They would serve God and prosper, but in their prosperity, they would turn away from God, and God would allow the enemy to oppress them. And in that oppression, they would cry out unto God for deliverance. God would raise a deliverer who was a judge, and he would drive away the oppressors. Well, we read here in the sixth chapter, the hand of Midian was against Israel. For 7 years, the people suffered, and they did suffer tremendously. They were driven from their homes. They had to live in dens. They were up in the mountains, living in caves. And when Israel would sow their crops, as their crops would come in and begin to be fruitful, why, the Midianites would destroy those crops. And, of course, they would bring starvation among the people of Israel because the Midianites destroyed the increase of the earth. And not only that, they would kill their animals, their sheep, their oxen. And they were so numerous, possibly an exaggeration somewhat, but it is said they became as grasshoppers for multitude. There were just so many of the Midianites that were controlling the land, and their camels were without number. They entered into the land and to destroy it. Verse 6 says that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And in that situation, what happened? Well, that which happened over and over again, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, the Lord this time didn't immediately raise up a judge. The Lord sent a prophet, an unnamed prophet, to the children of Israel, and this is what he said to them. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Well, that was the problem. The Israelites were suffering because of what they had sown. They were reaping the crop of evil because that's what they had done in turning away from God. Well, an angel of the Lord came to this man named Gideon. What was Gideon doing? Why, he was threshing wheat. Where was he threshing wheat? It was by the wine press. Now, that's not where people would ordinarily thresh their wheat. They would have their threshing floors. But you keep in mind, they had to hide their products and the fruit of their land from the Midianites. And so he was threshing wheat. here around the wine press. Well, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said to him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, I want to suggest to you that when we're introduced to Gideon, Gideon is not a mighty man of valor. He is far from it. Now, he does become a mighty man of valor. This is one of the great lessons we learn from Gideon. And we want to study the activity of Gideon because there are just so many lessons in it that are profitable for us today. He was a man that grew to be a mighty man of valor. But the angel is expressing here, no doubt, the potential in this man Gideon. And listen to Gideon's response. He said, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Now, let me pause here a moment before I read further. Notice the word if. That expresses the doubt that Gideon had that the Lord was with them. And he expresses why he had this doubt. Why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. You see, Gideon was a man that was really rebuking God, accusing God of having forsaken the people. He had things just exactly backwards, didn't he? The people had forsaken God. God has not forsaken them. It was true the Israelites were in the hands of the Midianites, but it was their own doing. But Gideon was a man of doubt. He said, If the Lord's for us, why are we in this trouble? He was very cynical, and the Lord looked upon him, and he told him, You will save Israel. I will send you to save the people of Israel from the Midianites. Well, Gideon didn't think that he was able to do that. He said, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon is simply saying, when the angel told him that he was going to deliver the people from the Midianites, Who? Me? I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. I'm the least in all the tribe of Manasseh and my father's house. But the Lord assured him, in verse 16, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Well, Gideon wanted proof of that. He wanted a sign that that would be true. And he said, Show me a sign. And so Gideon goes and gets a present for the angel of the Lord. And this present was a kid and unleavened cakes and broth. And he brought it and put it on a rock. And the angel put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched this gift, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the cakes and all the things of the gift. The angel of the Lord then departed out of his sight. Now, how was this a sign? Well, back in the book of Leviticus, in the 9th chapter, we read that when this sort of thing was taking place, and when fire was used to devour what was given, that was a sign of acceptance. So the Lord was showing to Gideon his acceptance to do this task. And Gideon was humbled before the Lord. He said, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, he thought surely he would die. But the Lord told him not to fear. Peace be unto thee, thou shalt not die. So Gideon built an altar unto the Lord. Now it seems like he is beginning to turn from his doubtfulness and from his cynicism and from his questioning of their situation, turning to the Lord. And the Lord comes to Gideon another time. This time he assigns Gideon a task. He said, take your father's bullock, throw down the altar of Baal that your father has erected, cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar to the Lord on the top of this rock. You'll notice he was told to tear down and to build up. Friend, that's the work of the Lord. There is to be the tearing down of that which is evil and the building up of that which is right. That's what the Lord told Jeremiah to do. He was to tear down and to build up. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do, to reprove and to rebuke. That's the tearing down. And to exhort, that's the building up. That's the part of the work of the Lord. You cannot tolerate that which is evil to just simply stand as if it were nothing. You have to oppose that which is wrong. It's unfortunate that some people are so cowardly, they don't want to oppose what is wrong. They say, let's just preach positive lessons. Let's just tell people sweet things, and all will be well. Well, all will not be well. The Lord knows that all will not be well. That's the reason down through the ages he has commissioned his people to oppose that which is sinful and to resist that which is wrong, as well as to build up that which is right. And that's what the Lord told Gideon to do. And you'll notice that which he was to tear down, this altar to Baal, had been erected by his own father. Well, he took some men with him, and he did just exactly as the Lord told him to do. Now, this wasn't the greatest task that God was going to call upon Gideon to do, but this was a test of his faithfulness and of his determination to be obedient to God. And the next morning, the people realized this altar had been torn down, and they knew who had done it. They said Gideon had done it, and they go to the father of Gideon, and he said, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal. He's cut down the grove that is beside it. Well, now this altar had been erected by Gideon's father, to be sure, but Gideon's father had a good answer to these people when they asked for Gideon. He said, let Baal take care of himself. Let Baal plead against him. If he's a god, he ought to be able to take care of this without our turning him over to you. And so the Midianites, as well as the Amalekites, they gathered themselves together to fight against the Israelites. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and Gideon recruited his army. He went through to the tribe of Manasseh and Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. In fact, he aroused 32,000 volunteers to help him fight. Well, we'll read about the battle of Gideon against the Midianites in our next study next week. We hope that you'll be listening. Keep in mind of this turbulent period of Israel. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.